Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, with far too much to talk about today. Prospect chatter, the 2025 MLB draft, and a Rockies 3-2 win in Cincinnati. They go to 9-8 since the beginning of June on the road, snapping a nice little three-game losing streak they had entirely in Boston, in a game where Chase Burns, probably his best game of his young career, the second overall pick last season at the University of Tennessee, really thought he was going to be a guy that would fall to the Rockies at number three. I'm not even sure that he was a top three guy. I think the Rockies liked him a little bit more than a lot of the prospect pundits that were out there, and surprised that he went too, and that allowed the Rockies to scoop up Chase Condon, who is still in Double A. I got some news on him coming up. But Chase Burns, six innings, allows two runs, walked three, but did strike out 10. One of those four hits he allowed was a two-run home run for Ryan McMahon in the fourth inning that gave the Rockies the lead, his 13th of the season. And you did have Jake Bird giving up yet another run. This one came in the seventh inning to get the Reds back in this game 2-2 and take an unfortunate win away from Germán Márquez. We know the pitching win is not an important stat anymore. What is important is that Germán Márquez looked really solid. Once again, before the trade deadline, six innings pitched, five hits, one run, three walks, eight strikeouts. Eli De La Cruz walked four times in this game. But in the eighth, the Rockies end up getting a run in a very fortunate way. And this is one of the things that the Rockies have not had go their way. Good luck, right? But you have to be in games in order to benefit from luck. Luck is the residue of design. So you want to be close in these games. And if you are close, then luck is going to end up benefiting you. Hunter Goodman walked with one out in the top of the eighth. Jordan Beck ended up singling. Michael Tolia struck out. And so you got two outs. Ryan McMahon singles, but it was not enough to score a run. Bases loaded, and you think, they've squandered their chance. And while Brent Doyle did strike out to end the inning, it was, I want to say, the third pitch in that at-bat, perhaps. No, it was one earlier than that. But ultimately, a wild pitch by Tony Santian of the Reds, and that scored Hunter Goodman from third base. And that gave the Rockies a 3-2 lead. And you had in the eighth, Juan Mejia holding it down, doing a nice job there, getting one strikeout. He continues to be a bright spot in this bullpen. And then Victor Vodnik comes in, and it was a little bit touchy. You might have been pulling a little bit of hair out, especially after a leadoff double by Santiago Espinal. But a strikeout of TJ Friedl, a strikeout of Matt McClain. De La Cruz is given first base to allow a force out on all the bases. And then Austin Hayes strikes out swinging. So Victor Vodnik gets his second save of the season. And then Jake Bird, despite being credited with a blown save, does get his third win of the season. And the Rockies, 3-2, 22-72. So far, with two games left against the Reds before the All-Star break, So many different things to talk about with the All-Star game. I do like this week how players continue to get added and get recognized, from Michael Garcia to so many. I mean, even Matt Olson. So we've got the home run derby set. We know who all eight players are going to be. It's not Hunter Goodman. I thought maybe as the week went on, or as those final few spots were there, we would get Hunter Goodman possibly throwing his name into the hat. You know, from the optics standpoint, maybe you don't want to have a member of the Colorado Rockies there. But who ended up joining the eight-player crew for Truist Park on Monday night? Brent Rooker of the Athletics. Not the Oakland Athletics, not the Sacramento Athletics, not the West Sacramento Athletics. They play in West Sacramento. And not the Las Vegas Athletics. Just Athletics. So, you know what? Major League Baseball is allowing that to go down. We had early on Ronald Acuña Jr. as the first guy announced, then Cal Raleigh, James Wood, Junior Caminero, Byron Buxton got his name in there, O'Neill Cruz, and Jazz Chisholm Jr., I believe might have been the last one there, just after Brent Rooker. And then Ronald Acuña Jr. Actually had to step aside a little bit. I think he's a bit banged up, so Matt Olson is going to take his spot from the hometown club. That's nice to see. I got a couple ideas as to how the home run derby can be improved upon. I love the format that exists right now. I think the format is great. But when you've got a home run derby that is really lacking some name recognition, I think Cal Raleigh is probably the one guy that if everyone was making their dream eight, if they were doing their elite eight for the home run derby, I really think Cal Raleigh would probably be the only guy in there. Maybe some folks would have Junior Caminero, knowing his sort of prospect profile and how big of a minor league career he had before coming up and how much he's been projected to be a star. I think James Wood could probably even fill in that group. O'Neill Cruz, yes, he's got some loud tools, but I don't know that he would be nationally one of the first guys that would get that recognition. I thought it very interesting that Jacob Mizorowski, yes, after only starting five games in the majors, a lot less than what we saw last year out of Paul Skeens, who didn't end up getting announced as the National League starter last year. He's only thrown 25 and two-thirds innings pitched, and yet he has been named to the National League All-Star team. Fewest games ever played by someone named to the All-Star game. And I'm very much fine with that. I'm very much fine with that because we are trying to sell this game, right? We are trying to get more fans to pay attention to Major League Baseball. And when you have such a unique player like Jacob Mizorowski, that's important to have somebody like him get involved in that. And yes, you know, there are other maybe more veteran players who've been doing it for a very long period of time. And it feels like, you know, they should get that recognition, and Jacob Mizorowski needs to wait his turn. I think there can be exceptions to that. Five games really does not seem like that many, and that might even be too few, but I would rather that because for anyone that went to the 2021 All-Star game, there are plenty of players that participated in that or that were named to the team that you probably don't even remember were a part of that All-Star game. It doesn't mean they didn't deserve it, but it's just different. It's not a big name player that you can't wait to tell your grandchildren about, right? It's not. They earned it. They might have been a cuspy player. They might have been the one guy on their team's roster who made it. But what if it would have been a player that did not have a ton of games played just yet? Look back at the 2021 roster, and you're going to look at Joey Wendell and say, I am so glad Joey Wendell was a part of that team. Again, doesn't mean he didn't deserve it, but someone had to make it that year for the Rays. That was one of their down years where they only had one representative. But would you have really been that upset if he wasn't a part of that game? Jared Walsh, I don't think he's in the majors anymore. This is only 4 years later, and these guys aren't around anymore. So I'd rather err on the side of this guy's going to be an all-star for years to come. So you know what? Let's go ahead and give him that nod. But I understand any criticism that might exist in regards to adding Jacob Mizorowski to that game. Prospect chatter. Did I cover everybody in the game? I think I did want to highlight the fact that Tyler Freeman had his hitting streak snapped. He was 0 for 4, did walk once, so his on base streak still going. He struck out 3 times in this game. That's insane. That's how good Chase Burns is. That's how solid that bullpen is. On top of that, they coughed up the lead, or rather Tony Santian did cough up that lead. But Freeman on base streak, still alive. Mickey Moniak did return to the lineup after having that foot contusion that held him out on Wednesday. Jordan Beck had himself a base hit that came late in that game. And then Ryan McMahon, 3 hits. So probably your 3 biggest trade chips for the Rockies had themselves a good game on Friday night. Hermen Marquez with his 6 innings, 1 run allowed with 8 strikeouts. Jake Bird, okay, you don't like that he gave up a run or walked a batter or gave up 2 hits, but better than what we've seen out of him over the last couple weeks. So that's a positive. That's a step in the right direction, we can at least say. And then Ryan McMahon, 3 for 4 with 2 RBI coming off that home run, scoring a run as well. You like to see that out of him. So we'll see what happens after this draft. We'll see what happens. And the Rockies have the 4th overall pick in the 2025 MLB draft. That gets kicked off at 4 p.m. I think there's a pregame show that actually starts at 3 p.m. But 4 p.m., maybe around 4:20, 4:25, maybe even 4:30, they'll get to the Rockies pick 4th overall. We'll find out who they're going to go with. I've gotten a lot of folks reaching out, very curious who the Rockies are going to take. I pick number 4, and in a year in which there's no head and shoulders best player that's out there, the teams, even in the Rockies spot at number 4, could get a little creative and say, we'll take someone that is maybe projected to go 9th or 10th. You sign them 4th. You give them less money than the slot is valued at number 4, but is more than that they would have gotten at the 9th or 10th pick. So it's a win-win situation, and the Rockies can save some money, use that down the line on their next pick. They got pick number 4, pick number 45, which is pick number 2 in the 2nd round after the White Sox, and then number 74 competitive balance round B, and then number 77. So Rockies with 4 picks in that first day. They did change it to just 2 days now is the draft. Sunday will be rounds 1 through 3 and rounds 4 through 20 start, I think, at 9:30 a.m. on Monday. So they've tightened it up just a little bit. The favorite to go to number 4 to the Rockies right now, from what I've seen, Ethan Holliday. After him, Jamie Arnold, Ava Arquette, and Seth Hernandez. It absolutely cannot be Seth Hernandez. It cannot be Seth Hernandez. I'll talk more about this on Sunday, about why he is the one guy I think the Rockies almost can't take. Can't. You just can't. So the Nationals, we'll see what they do at number 1 overall. Very interesting that they just got rid of their GM 2 weeks before the draft. So they're going to hit the ground running with the new man in charge. It'll be interesting to see what they do. Cade Anderson does appear to be the favorite right now out of LSU to go number 1 overall. We'll see what happens. The Rockies can only get so creative, as I said, with those 4 picks on the first day. Only one within the top 44, because they've got pick number 45. Next year, they will have pick number 10 as their first pick, and then they will get a competitive balance round A selection. So somewhere around, let's say, 33 or 34. So that will help them in their overall bonus pool. They got like $15 million this year. No, they don't have $15 million. I did read that somewhere, but that feels really high. I do know that the Tampa Bay Rays traded away, in fact, one of their compensation picks. So the Orioles themselves, they do have a lot more money right now. They ended up trading Brian Baker, who, believe it or not, was drafted and developed by the Rockies for a little while. Yes, Brian Baker did go to the Toronto Blue Jays in 2018 at the trade deadline. He was the player to be named later in the Sungwon Oh trade. So he ended up getting picked up by the Orioles after Toronto let him go, has been a very serviceable reliever, and they end up, the Orioles end up getting pick number 37 from the Rays for Brian Baker, a player that I would probably say is as good, if not a tick below Jake Bird. Could the Rockies have had pick number 37 in this year's draft for Jake Bird? I think so, but Rockies and creativity, sometimes they just do not mix. So now the Orioles have pick number 19, 30, 31, those two, because those are compensation picks for Corbin Burns and Anthony Santander. And then they get number 37 for reliever Brian Baker. And the Rockies maybe could have added that. Creativity is what it is all about. Let's get to the minor leaguers doing it up big time for the Rockies right now. Sean Sullivan, his previous start before this week was outstanding. 7 innings pitched, only allowed 1 run, 4 hits, no walks, 7 strikeouts. His first 10 games this year at AA, 3.02 ERA, and in 56.2 innings pitched, so 56 and two-thirds innings pitched, 59 strikeouts. Even better, only 10 walks. 6 strikeouts to walks in that AA Eastern League. Pretty good for the number 8 prospect, according to MLB Pipeline, for the Rockies. The 22-year-old southpaw has really only had 1 bad outing this year, and it wasn't even that bad. 4 innings pitched, 3 runs on 6 hits, walked 2, 1 hit batter, and only struck out 2 against Detroit's Erie Seawolves, soon to be the Erie Moon Mammoths. Maybe you saw that. John Oliver on Last Week Tonight said that he was going to rebrand a minor league team, and a lot of teams said, hey, please do it for free for us. And Erie was selected, and they were able to find a really cool story, did a whole rebranding and everything for it. So that's pretty neat. Keep your eye out for that. Not sure that they've played officially yet as the Erie Moon Mammoths. There's a story behind it. Take a look. But he walks the 2, which is tied for the most walks he's had this season, but only goes 4 innings, gives up 3 runs against Erie. And because you play the same team for 6 days, there are guys, if you start on Tuesday night, you're going to also start on Sunday. And so against the same team that just saw him, what did Sean Sullivan do? 5 2/3 innings pitched, no runs allowed, 2 hits, 2 walks, strikes out 6. You're supposed to be doing more damage the second time you see a guy in a short period of time. So I love what Sean Sullivan's been able to do here this season after getting a late start from somewhat of a hip impingement surgery he got taken care of in the off season. And if you like your trivia, just know this. Who's the pitcher who started the first ever Hartford Yard Goats playoff game at Duncan Park? The answer, Sean Sullivan. Beef. It's what's going to Atlanta. Wellington Herrera, a.k.a. Beef. He's going to the Futures game. This is a young man that has the makings of a strong bullpen piece. His fastball's up to 97. He does have somewhat of a 3-quarter arm slot from the left side. And because he needs to be added to the 40-man roster this winter, expect him to debut at some point in September. What's the catching situation been as of late in Albuquerque between Braxton Fulford and Drew Romo? Well, both have been playing a lot. When one catches, the other is the DH. Entering this week, Fulford 7-for-15 with 4 home runs since he was sent down from Colorado. On July 2nd, he went 4-for-4 with 2 homers. Incredible. Drew Romo also been playing a lot better over the previous week. He hit .368 last week, 3 doubles, 2 RBI, and was, you know, not playing very well in his 22 games back after having that thumb injury in the final game of minor league spring training. So he's just finally finding his groove. How about Charlie Condon and Jared Thomas? They got promoted to Hartford. How have they been doing? Well, they're learning. They are learning. Rockies top prospect Charlie Condon, he's in Atlanta right now. The Futures game also is going to be on Sunday. I'm not sure what time that is. They do play that during the day. And I imagine they want that to be over before the draft. And for those folks who make their bones strictly covering prospects, that's an unfortunate assignment. I've heard plenty of them griping, and they rightfully so, should be griping because they've got to cover the futures game. And then depending on where the draft is, it's not always nearby. I know in LA, it was a hassle to get from one to the other. This time, it is very close from the ballpark to where they're holding the draft. But they got to get over and cover the draft. I know for me, when Denver hosted, I what did I do? I parked near the convention center in the morning. Then I took a scooter over to Coors Field, did all the pregame stuff for the Futures game, caught up with Willie McIver, Michael Tolia, and Ryan Vallade. How about that trio? That was 4 years ago. That's it. That was 4 years ago. Ryan Vallade, Willie McIver, Michael Tolia. Talked with them, watched a little bit of the game. Brennan Davis homered. Michael Tolia homered too in that game. Looked like he might have been the MVP. Then over at McGregor Square is where they had all the stuff with the celebrity softball. And there were some folks I wanted to talk to. And so I did catch up with CeCe Sabathia and Jenny Finch. And wanted to talk to The Miz, but he was in his wrestler mode and he did not want to talk to me at all. Not Miz as in Jacob Mizrowski, but the real Miz from WWE. And then came back, watched the game, jumped back on the scooter, went over to the convention center. I guess it was at the Buell Theater. And then watched the draft in a very small auditorium because there weren't a ton of people there. We were still in the middle of the pandemic. Spilly was the host for all that. And Rockies took Benny Montgomery. Then got in my car, drove over to the DNVR bar and jumped on a podcast there, hung out with the John Boy, Jimmy, as his real name is. Jake was there talking with that whole crew. That was a fun special day, but Sunday is a lot for those guys that make their bones covering the minor leagues. Charlie Condon will be there. I imagine he'll bat towards the middle of the lineup on the NL side of things. But what's he been doing in Hartford? Well, he was 4 for his first 20 with 2 doubles, 5 RBI. Like that power. Like seeing that. And then Jared Thomas, 2 for 13, double, stolen base. But he has been out for a little while with right-hand soreness. It's not considered serious, but of course they're erring on the side of caution. In high A Spokane, where Spokane finished the first half only 3 games under 500. They started much better so far the first 2 weeks plus of the season. And the guy really making the most noise. Well, there's one on the pitching side, one on the hitting side. Connor Eaton, the lefty, is not allowed to run and has struck out 11 through his last 2 starts, 13 innings pitched. Through his last 3 outings, has allowed 1 earned run, 2 unearned runs, over 19 and two-thirds innings pitched. He leads all Northwest League pitchers with 92 strikeouts. He has been a bright spot. And then in the infield, Braylon Wimmer, who can play a little bit of everywhere, homered in 3 consecutive games to start the month of July, July 1st through 3rd. He's got a hit in 5 of his first 6 games this month. So he is playing really well for Spokane. We'll see if he gets an opportunity late in the season with Fresno with some of those late-year call-ups that are typical deep into the month of August in September across the minor leagues. I'll be back Sunday, probably live. We'll see. Might be jumping on a couple other shows. Make sure you're following me on social media so you know where I'll be live talking about the final of the Red Series. Is this where the Rockies are actually going to win their first series? Well, now you have to watch 2 more games. You have to, because if they lose on Saturday, you still got to watch Sunday to see if they're going to win that series. If they had lost on Friday, all you got to do is watch Saturday. And I don't think they've won the second game of any series this whole year. It's been rough. So maybe they end on a not so high note with a series win against the Reds. So I'll talk about that. The draft pick that the Rockies selected. Maybe they'll have selected a couple guys by that point. And I don't think we're going to get Jake Bird added as a late addition to the All-Star team, even if a bunch more guys end up going down. Don't the Padres have 3 relievers on the All-Star team this year for the NL? Sheesh. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, and the Rockies Insider on YouTube. Appreciate you dropping by this audio-only edition. Unfortunately, that momentum that you've given me that I do appreciate. It's only as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you then.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.